The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Live and on the FM broadcast, we'd just like to say thank you and welcome. We're coming on a little bit late tonight, but not going to make excuses for that. We had a pretty good pre-session, didn't we not? Anybody agree that we had a pretty good roundabout session? We've already begun teaching the word in the roundabout session, and so we're just going to come to you live tonight. But before we do, I want to iterate our verse and scripture for the year, for the direction that God is sending us, and I wanted to read this, and I told you're going to be hearing it for the next 50 weeks. You're going to be hearing Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. And it simply says, but seek first. God's setting a priority, isn't he? If God's not first, he's not at all. If God is not first in your life, he's not there at all. A lot of people say, oh, I love the Lord, but, it's time to kick the butts out. If God is not first, sorry, you need to reprioritize. You need to set your house in order. Is that too hard on a Wednesday night? If God is not first, why would Jesus write this down? Why would he tell his disciples, but seek first the kingdom of God? Because he knows human nature is to put other things in front of God and then try to attach God to it. Back in the 80s, in the churches, they used to say, Lord, bless my mess. Well, if you just put God first, you wouldn't have been in the mess that you're in. I heard R.W. Shambach one time. He said, too many people. Now, this is back in the 80s. This is back in the days when preachers were preachers. And they weren't motivational speakers. They would say, thus says the word of the Lord. And they didn't care if it offended you or not. Because if the word of God offends you, you're just going to be offended. But if I offend you in word or deed, then I can come and make it right. But if it's the word of God, then you need to change your direction. Might be a little hard for Wednesday night. But you got to be careful because the word of God is true. And there's a pastor in heaven somewhere saying that the truth will stand when the world's on fire. Amen? I can hear him still yet today, clear as a bell. You tell them whether they hear or whether they forbear. You need to get right, live right, and die right. Amen. We've been charged. We've been given a commission. We used to call it a great commission, but we treated it with disdain, and it wasn't great in our minds. It wasn't great in our lives. You say, oh, I believe in the great commission. Don't lie before the Holy Ghost. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. Don't you lie in front of the Holy Ghost. Who put it into your heart to think that you could lie to God? In our pre-session, we were talking about the fear of the Lord has gone out. Well, the fear of the Lord is getting ready to come back. He's still Savior. He's still calling men to repentance everywhere. But there's going to come a shout. And there's going to come a trumpet. And when that shout comes and the trumpet sounds, he's not coming back as Savior. He's coming back as the Lion from the tribe of Judah. And he's coming back as the righteous judge of this world. You say, don't judge me. You've already been judged. You, like Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, you've been weighed in the balance and are found wanting. There's a handwriting on the wall that you no longer see. And there are not men standing in pulpits saying, thus says the word of the Lord. Well, I tell you what, I know where there's one church that's doing it. Amen. If we have to go alone, there's one church that's doing it. R.W. Shambach said, and I'll finish the quote, he said, too many people today, and this is in the 80s, are comfortable with the status quo. What's the status quo, Pastor? And they ask him, they said, Preacher, what is the status quo? And he said, they're too comfortable in the status quo. And they ask him, well, what does that mean? He said, you're too comfortable in the mess you're in. Because until you get sick of the mess you're in, until you get sick of the devil whipping on you, until you get sick of everything that you're going on and through and going through this world and what they're putting on you and what they're making you do, until you get sick, and my mama would add tired, you ain't going to do nothing about it. Too many people are too comfortable living lives of mediocrity. So we need to seek first. That's a prioritization. In your Bible, that should be read. That's the words of Jesus. He knew that our propensity as men and our human nature was to seek self first. There was even a move that went through the churches in the 80s and 90s and said, if you can't love yourself, you can't love nobody else. Totally opposed to the Word of God, which said, Jesus again saying, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. I dare say today that there are not too many believers denying self. Now, before you go and get all self-righteous on me and say, well, look at you, fat preacher. You ain't denying yourself. I see you ain't missed too many meals. Well, let me just tell you something. Let me just tell you something. We're working on it. We're working on it. You know, before you go and pull the speck out of my eye, look at the beam and the plank that's in yours. I just need more body because of the heart that God put in me. Because of the spirit that's in me. You see, there's more of me to fill. It's more me to feel. Well, we go to church. Our preacher says this and our preacher says that. You're liable to find that if you want to, you can find a preacher that will agree with anything you want and you can be just as happy going to hell as you want to. We talked about before we came online, we talked about that there are preachers that are escorting people into the flames, into the pit with velvet gloves, and they're telling them stories and even laughing all the way to hell. But hell's no laughing matter. And it's not God's will that any should perish. And it's not our will that any should perish. And so you mock us if you want to. You call us whatever you want to. But we care enough about you to tell you that there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. I don't care what the majority of preachers are saying. Everybody does not go to heaven. Matthew chapter 7 says that broad is the gate, wide is the gate, and broad is the path that leads to destruction. And many are on that path. We just went through that in our Bible reading, did we not, a couple days back? It's not the broad path. It's not the crowds. It's not the multitudes. Jesus said, narrow is the gate and straight is the path. Now this is Jesus speaking, and I think he's the authority on the subject. And he said there'll be few. Few. If Jesus said there are going to be few, I believe there's going to be few. I'm sorry your pastor's lying to you. I'm sorry your preacher's lying to you. I'm sorry your brother or sister, whatever's lying to you and says everybody goes, you know what, I'm getting so sick and tired of people that live for the devil and when they die they say, oh, their pain is over and they're in a much better place. You better read the scripture. If they left you no testimony, you better not say, preacher, you better not stand over a coffin and say they're in a much better place, they're better off, because you do not know that. That's why it's so much better. I don't say it's better for people to die, but it's better for pastors and family. If you leave a confession of faith, I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. I have given my heart to Him. I'm following after Him. I'm leaving you a roadmap to follow. Get in the Word. As my daddy used to say, get right. Then live right. So you can die right. Jesus sets a priority. And that's our priority for this year. Seek first the kingdom of God. And we can't stop there, because it's not just enough to see the kingdom of God, because people see the kingdom of God. We have people that come here that aren't saved. Shocker. You know, there are some pastors that aren't afraid to tell the truth. There are people that come here. We've even had two or three on the praise team at a time or two that weren't saved. Oh, they said they were, but they couldn't sustain the delusion. They couldn't sustain the mirage. They couldn't sustain the illusion of salvation. Because you know what? The world will literally beat it out of you. Okay, I'll go over here. The world will literally beat that false conversion out of you. The only sustaining grace is in the blood of Jesus. Amen. You know, that's why Revelation says that they overcome him, their adversary, by the blood of their lamb and the word of their testimony. Not just the word of their testimony. I don't know how many people I had said, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I don't know how many people in this community. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. The devils believe and they tremble. But they ain't going to heaven. Are you? I hope you are. But what does your life say? Now we're going to get real touchy feely, because we're going to encroach upon that, where the people, you know, in the LGBT community, and the people, they say, no, don't you judge me. I don't have to judge you. The Bible says, if you'd ever read it, the Bible says you will know them by their fruit. Right outside the doors of the sanctuary here, there's a big old apple tree. Along about June, July, I don't have to wonder if that's a silver maple. There's an oak tree over there. I don't have to wonder if it's a walnut tree or not. I can look at the fruit that's coming on their branches, and it's not making a judgment to say, now, I thought you were a pear tree, but I see apples on you. Somebody's mixed up. No. Because a tree will bear the fruit of its kind. Don't tell me you're a Christian and act like the devil and live contrary to the Word of God, because your fruit is telling on you. And you know what the Bible says? This is going to be a big one. Beware, your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. Did anybody read in Ezra this week in the devotional thing where they went and even the Levites had taken wives of the heathen women, which was forbidden by them. The Levites had taken wives, and when they were consecrating the tabernacle, when they were getting back to rebuilding the walls, when Ezra and Nehemiah said, we need to take about a year and we need to look this thing over, those of you who have taken heathen wives and those of you who have married into the customs of those that we told you not to, and that the Lord said not to, and it was about a year and a half, and some of them had to divorce those pagan women that they were married to before they could come back into God's house. He said, you have to put aside those pagan, those idol-worshiping gods, and come back in, or else you'll be disqualified. Anybody read that? Is that in the Bible? Am I making that up? There's going to have to be a divorcement from the world if we're going to be the bride of Christ. I hope you're not preaching that Sunday, because that boy's about ready to take off. It's about ready to get big up in here. You're going to have to divorce this world and the mistresses that you have in this world if you're the bride of Christ. I don't know about y'all, but I want 100% of her attention and her affection. I ain't part-timing her out with anybody else. That's my wife. 100%. As that old country song said, 99 and 44 100s just won't do. And if me being a man, maybe jealous a little bit, have you not read where our God is a jealous God? I'm telling you, there's some daily fire being going around here. And if you keep reading it, you're going to catch fire. And if you're going to catch fire, then you're going to have to step up to the Word. The Word's not going to drop down to you. You're going to have to step up to the Word of God. And there may be some that have to divorce themselves from the world and the ideals of the world and the notions of the world. I don't care if it is legal in man's eyes. If God said it, and it was sin back then, it's sin right now. And it will be sin going into eternity. And sin will separate you from God. But aren't you glad? I don't want to leave it there because that could be considered negative. And I don't want to be considered negative. I'm probably the least negative guy you'll ever see. But while sin will separate you from God, aren't you glad today that God's Word will separate you from sin? And the blood of God will cleanse you from all unrighteousness and make you white as snow? Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as wool. And though they be like crimson, they will be whiter than snow. Amen? Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness and separates us from our sin? We're liberated in the power and the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's an awful lot in one verse. But that's the direction in 2022 to seek His righteousness. Not my righteousness. My righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. The best I can be is not good enough. It stinks. The best I can do. Man, I can do unto others all day long. I can give to the poor. I can sell houses and give stuff away and help the impoverished. And I can do all kinds of things. Though I sing with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it profits me nothing, your scripture says. The only thing that matters is your name written in the Lamb's book of life. The only thing that matters. Elsewise, you're going to hear Him say, "Depart from me because I never knew you. Depart from me." My prayer tonight and the prayer of the river this year is that you will not be in that crowd that says, "Well, Lord, we believed in you. Lord, we said amen on the Facebook post. Lord, we put all kinds of scripture posts out there. Lord, we did this and Lord, we did that. We even cast out devils in your name and we played for you and we sang for you." And He's going to say, "I don't know you." My prayer is that you won't be in that crowd. You're to make your calling and election sure. You better be sure. You say, "Well, how can I be sure?" Well, I know a preacher that'll tell you. I know a place where you can find out. I know a place that loves you enough to tell you the truth. At the point of you rejecting us and walking away, as many have. Hundreds have come through this door and they love the power of the Holy Ghost here. They love the feeling of family here. They love how they're welcomed here. And they've come in and they begin to sit and assimilate. But as soon as the Holy Ghost begins to convict their heart, they're like, "Oh, I don't like that. Oh, you're doing this, and oh, you're..." We've even had people that say, "You pointed right at me and you said this and you said that." And it was, and we looked and nobody said anything the like. The Holy Spirit was drawing. The Holy Spirit was speaking and the Holy Spirit was convicting their hearts and they rejected Him and out the door they went. Hopefully not out into eternity. Hopefully they'll wake up in the dawn with a new choice, a new opportunity to serve Him. But your Bible says, while it is still called today, while it is still called today, choose you this day. Choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? The writer of Proverbs says that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. That means it feels right. That means it looks right. That means I can live with it. I can put it on. The devil's made a garment for you. Self-righteousness, though it may be, it looks right. It feels right. You can point out other people's sin. You can point out other people's shortcomings. You dare turn the mirror on yourself, but you can do that. But the end is death, eternal separation from God. We see a world in panic. We see a nation in panic. They're willing to take an untested, unproven, unverified medicine in order to end the hope of saving their life. They're trying. We want to live. We want to live. We don't want to die. Save us. Save us, they cry. But life can only be found in one place and in one name. Because there is no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Well, there are about 40 more scriptures left to go, and I haven't even got through the first one yet. Let me finish the first verse. So first we're going to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then, there's a clause. There's a conjunction that adds another thought. It puts two thoughts together. Because, you see, God's that far ahead of you. That's how far God is ahead of you. You just now in today. He's been here for 10 millennia. He saw you before your mommy and daddy thought about you. He saw your beginning and He saw your end and He's numbered your days. This same Jesus combines another thought with this. And I think in the next hour that we have left, I think it's fine that we just expand upon it. Is that okay? Is that all right if I just preach one verse tonight? I've not got an hour. I have just lost half the Facebook crowd. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Boy, that's good right there. That's meat that you can chew on. That's meat that'll provide sustenance to the body. That's meat that'll get you through tomorrow. It got me through today. How about you?
Amen.
Did it get anybody through today? Aren't you glad that we love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength? Because now we can understand and receive this verse, amen? A year's worth of training to get us to where we can receive. That's how patient God is with us, right? All right, let me get to the other clause and then we'll close it down. And all these things shall. Now, shall is a contractual term. Wherever you see a shall in a contract, That means that whereas the parties in the first part shall do this and that and the other thing and provide certain services for the parties of the second part, that is a legal, binding, contractual term. It's not, oh, maybe. It's not, well, it depends. This is one of those things that if you do the first part of it, then God is bound to complete the second part of it. Contractually. His words, not mine. And all these things shall be added to you. What things? Well, you got to go back up. I'm sorry, you're going to get another verse tonight. I hate just preaching Bible to you. I wish I could give you a good story. There's a guy down in Texas that'll tell you a funny story, not me. All right, so just throw that out there to you. Verse number 31 says, therefore, do not worry. Does your Bible say do not worry?
Yep.
Is it in red?
Yep.
Highlighted?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we worrying? I could take an altar call right there. I could put that out there, and those of you on Facebook land, we're going to give an altar call. How many of you have been worrying? Jesus said, don't do it. You know what that means? That's what my grandma used to say. That's naughty. Don't do it. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? That's the three basic needs, isn't it? What are we going to eat? Feel like that cooking cowboy. Did y'all eat yet? Well, if you've been in the daily fire, I know you're eating. You've been in the daily fire. Some of y'all been feasting. And it's good. It's good. We had to not give it to one guy because we knew he had been already through it all way already. We won't go with him. Not going to call out anybody's names. But he knows who he is. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? Oh, where are we going to get? Where are we going to get water? And what are you going to wear? Got cold out the other night. Ain't it? I'm glad I got me a 30 below coat. No, I mean I had to. I was walking around in the lumber store down there. I had to take that thing off because it wasn't 30 below in there. And I was sweating. Hey, look at that. That's a cardio workout for those of you guys worried about the fat preacher. Look at there. I'm doing it. All right. Anyway, don't send me hate mail. This is what. For after all these things, the Gentiles or the lost people seek. The lost people seek after. The pagans, which we were, right? So if we weren't born into Abraham, if we weren't born into it by birthright, that means that we've had a lot of practice worrying about it, haven't we? If we didn't get saved the minute we got born, then we've had a lot of time to practice our worrying about things. Says, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He knows what you have need of. If you have a need of a healing, He knows that you have need of it.
Amen.
Why did James say in his epistle, why did he say, if there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, let them anoint their head with oil? And he goes even one step further. He said, not only will they be healed, but if there's any sin, it will be forgiven them. What sin could you get? Well, probably for being so stubborn to not want to come and get prayed for. We talked about this before we came on air. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness of sin, They begin to murmur, and God allowed asps or adders or venomous snakes to come into the camp. And they were all bitten. And they begin to cry out, "Oh, Pastor Moses, tell us what to do. Pray to God for us." And he said, "Lord," he said, "if this is allowed to continue," he said, "your enemies are going to mock you, saying he just brought them out into the wilderness to kill them. Lord, I know you're better than that." How many of us pray like that? The disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." I'll tell you what, you want to know how to pray? You go back and you find some of Moses' prayers for his congregation. "Lord, what would your enemies say? You're a gracious and merciful God that delivered us out of the hand of Pharaoh only to bring us out here and slaughter us." And you know what the Lord said? The Lord heard him. The Lord said, "I've heard your prayer." And he said, "For their sake, if you'll fashion a bronze serpent and you'll put it up on a staff in the middle of the camp, all that the people who look at it will be healed." That's all you had to do. You just looked at the serpent on the pole and you were healed. Boy, it's too bad God died, isn't it? It's too bad God's not still the same God. It's too bad he never said that he was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Boy, that's too bad that God's gone, isn't it? He's not gone. That very same God that told Pastor Moses to put a serpent on a staff and raise it up and people would just look at it and be healed is still in the saving and healing business today. Amen?
Amen.
He's still in the saving and healing business. If you will trust in Him, if you will look unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. I just have news for you. He's still Jehovah Rapha. Still. He hasn't moved one inch. His promises are still yes and amen. I'm pleading with a marginal church. You've left your first love. We're dealing right now in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, you have left your first love. Either you return to your first love, Jesus told them, or I'm going to come and I'm going to take away the lampstands. You're going to be wandering in darkness if you do not repent and return to your first love, which is Jesus Christ. If you need help tonight, returning to your first love. If you need help tonight, maybe you've drifted so far. Maybe you were in a place where they never even introduced you to Jesus. Give us the opportunity. We would love the opportunity to introduce you to the Christ, the King of glory, who is soon returning as the Lion of the tribe of praise. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless you. And may the Holy Spirit begin to convict your heart if you need to change. We're here for you. Reach out to us at the numbers on the screen. May God bless you and keep you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.